Say it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Appreciate His kindness toward us. And appreciate the day the Lord's give us. been some good rain that we've needed the last few days. But with rain comes a lot of darkness. Comes a lot of sometimes gloomy feelings. But I'm glad that always after a good rain comes the sunshine all over again. And boy, I got up this morning and it was still kind of dark outside and the sun was trying to get up and peek through. And the more I sat there, the brighter it got and the brighter it got. And I thought, boy, what a wonderful day this is going to be. That the Lord has prepared us. This is the day that the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My kids at school, they say, would you quit singing? It's too early in the morning. Homeroom, first thing they come in, I'm singing loud. Just singing to the top of my lungs. Would you be quiet, Coach Coward? Why are you so happy? I say, I tell you why I'm happy. It's because the Lord had saved me. I tell them that. They may fire me tomorrow. I hope they do. I hope the Lord's got a bigger, better job for me. It don't matter. I'm not worried about it. Hey, I'm excited about the Lord this morning. I am. Somebody said, you ought not get up in the pulpit like that. Why not? Who said you couldn't? Who said you couldn't come to church already excited about the Lord? Where does it say you got to come in moping and groping? Where does it say that? Where? I ain't never read it. I've tried to find it. But there are some people thinks that if you don't come in like this and weighed down and down hard, that you can't have meeting. I done had meeting before I got here. I have had it yesterday. Got to hear Brother Dixon preach. And after Brother Dixon preached, got to hear a fella named Randy Jackson preach. And then they got a little old Meebo fella up there and I tried. But them other fellas, son, they brought the power. And it was wonderful. And I love the Word of God and I love His way of living best of all, as the song says. There's no other way that we ought to live than this way this morning. And I'm thankful for it. I appreciate being in the house of the Lord. I appreciate His goodness and His kindness toward us. I appreciate Him allowing us to feel His presence and for others to feel it and to act upon it. And it just does me good. It does. And I'm so very thankful this morning for what God has done for us. Now, you pray for me for just a few minutes. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out exactly what the Lord wants me to do. I got more than I know what to do with. And sometimes I don't know whether it's better to have nothing and then Him just give it to me or whether it's better to have it all and try to figure out what way to go. But I want to obey Him this morning and do what He'd have us to do. We're a couple of songs. I couldn't remember all of them that we sung. But that one that we sung, and Brother Leroy said he loved it. He liked that song. And I love it too. It says, and a lot of time I don't think we just ponder what it's talking about, but it said, sweet is the song that I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow. Now listen, have all what? Vanished away. Now is that true or is that not true? Is that true or is that not true? Has trouble and sorrow all that? Are we waiting for it to vanish away or has it? This writer said it has vanished away. That's what he said. Why? Why had it vanished away? What was he basing that on? That he is redeemed. Amen. And he said, great is my joy. Now as onward I go, all the way homeward. Listen to this part now. This may be where you're lacking a little bit. I'm trying to help you. All the way homeward, my praises shall flow. You want to know why so many times that all you can see is darkness and clouds and rainy and no hope and no nothing? It's probably because on your way homeward, you're not praising Him. This writer said we praise Him. And then he said, precious indeed is my Savior to me. Happy in glory someday I shall be. And I appreciate that, and I agree with him. Well, I'm going to be happy there, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm happy over here. I'm happy in the glory that I have now. And then I'm going this song that we sung just over in the glory land. I'm going to tell you what, I done got over there this morning. Amen, I have. You may not have got there yet, but I've already been over there. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm a toting on some grapes and a sucking on some grapes and a eating some milk and some honey. And I'm enjoying what's over in the glory. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to enjoy all of what God's got for me. I'm enjoying a little bit of it on this side. And bro, I'm telling you what, the heavenlies is a wonderful place to get. It allows us to get past the problems and the troubles and the sorrows. I'm glad I'm not awake for those things to vanish away. I'm glad that in Christ Jesus they are vanished away this morning. Amen. That's right. Brother, I'm glad for that. You say, I don't know about you. That's all right. You can keep on thinking. Brother, 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 2. I'm going to get right in line with Brother Danny. Is that all right? Brother, this is what I got. This is all I got. And so I'm just going to get in line with him. He read out of 2 Samuel. And listen, I'm going to tell you what. The writer was on the same thing early on in the 1 Samuel. That he is on in 2 Samuel, long about the 22nd chapter. He is on it in the 2nd chapter. Listen to what he said. I record in Hannah here, the Bible said, in the first verse, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. And this is what she said. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. That's what Hannah said. Brother, listen, I want you to know this. That if we'd get back and get excited, Brother Dixon preached yesterday, and brother, he didn't have no great big deep theological message, but he preached on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And his ordination sermon, that's what he preached on. And he said, we don't need nothing else. We're not looking for anything else. We got exactly what we need. Hannah understood it after she prayed and God gave her a child, and she said, I'm going to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, for he is our rock and there is no other like him. Thank God. The Song of Solomon said he's altogether lovely, and brother, there's none like unto him. What makes your beloved greater than mine? And he said he's altogether lovely today. That's what makes him better. He ain't just sometimes lovely. He ain't just sometimes good. But he's all the time good. There was a thing that went on not too long ago in some of the bigger churches, in some of the more Pentecostal churches, where they'd stand up and the preacher would say, all the time God is good. And the congregation would repeat to him, and God is all the time good. Something like that. I may not have exactly right, but you know what I'm saying. Amen. You know what? And brother, I would to God that everybody would understand that truth. That all the time God is good. There is nothing wrong with him. There's nothing evil about him. God is good. One writer said, and he is God, and beside him there is no other. Why are we looking to other things? Why are we trusting in other things? Why are we worried when God is God today? Why do people get past that truth? I don't know. Why do they worry about this and that? Why do we worry? Why do I worry, Tony, when God is the rock of my salvation? Amen. He is the very foundation of my existence. He is, amen, listen, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So many writers talked about him. So many people sung about him. But until he becomes that in your life, until you come to the place where you're willing to lay down self and lay down all the other things and just trust him and give him your heart and life, you'll never experience being in heavenly places and the glory world today. Amen. Everybody, Brother wants to experience heaven, but they want to experience heaven on their terms. Amen. Listen. Everybody here in this church service today, and brother, they've got an idea of what heaven's going to be. They've got a thought process of what's going to take place and what's going to happen when they get out of this life and get into the next. And many writers have wrote things about what they thought heaven was. But I want you to understand this. I thank God that heaven had been given unto me, and all that heaven has to afford, the moment that I believe that Christ was Savior, thank God. Amen, that's right. Preacher, you seem to think that you get to experience heaven down here. I don't just think it, I know it. Brother, I got caught up yesterday, not while I was preaching, but while Randy was a preacher, and I was almost there when Dixon was a preacher, and Randy just come through and kicked the door wide open and let me come on in with him. And amen. And brother, I want you to know I wasn't waiting to die out in this flesh to experience a glory land. I wasn't dying out in this flesh, brother, to experience a holiness with God. But I was experiencing Tony right there at Dry Creek Baptist Church. Amen. Yes, sir. And you know what? I got up this morning and I was still experiencing it. I was. I don't know what I was dreaming about, but when I got up, Brother Jeff, I was smiling. I don't always wake up that way, do y'all? Sometimes I wake up and it takes me a while to get that sleep out of my eyes and to remember what day it is and to figure out what my next step is. But this morning I woke up and I was already smiling. Amen. I was already happy. I was already excited. And brother, I wasn't saying, well, I'm going to have to drag my tired self to the church. No, sir. But brother, I was thinking, God, if you'll come down just a little bit like you did yesterday, I'll experience church well before I make it up to Mountain View. Amen. And you know who I had church with this morning? Listen, don't think I'm crazy. I had church with they some people back there on that picture that ain't here this morning. I had church with in my house. There's some folks that wasn't there and wasn't a part of Blue Pond Baptist Church's congregation that showed up at the ordination, brother, because they done gone on to be of the Lord. But this morning I was right there, it's right there in my living room. Amen. Preacher, I think you've lost your mind. Go ahead. And brother, he said, to comfort them in their day. He said, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily besides, and let us run. That's the problem. We ain't got enough runners in the house of God today. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm not walking through this way. I'm running. I'm in a race. And it's the same race it always has been that Hannah knew. She wasn't putting her feet down on some sandy surface, but she is on a rock. And she said, there's no rock like our rock, because our rock is God today. Amen. She said, so I'm not running like I'm just running here and there and don't know where I'm headed. She said, I know where I'm going. Amen. I know where I'm going. I'm running. And every time I put my foot down, you know what it does? It affirms to me, I thank God that the rock is where my foundation is. It affirms to me that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is my all in all. And if I'll continue to trust Him, there's not a place I put my foot. The Bible said the good steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord today. We get up, testify when our children sing.
Why worry? And we get tears out and say, boy, that's a good song. But then we leave church and we go to worrying. Hey, man, that's exactly right. Worrying about why this one wasn't there, why that one wasn't there, why we ain't doing this, or why so-and-so didn't do that, and why our job's like that. Hey, I got news for you. If your feet's on the rock, why are you worrying today? What? I'm not saying we don't. I do. I fall short. But we don't have to. No. I was in the hospital room of a dear saint of God, and she is leaving this walk of life, and she is trying her best to hang on. I don't know what it is inside of us that makes us want to hold on and makes us want to try to stay. And we fight, and a lot of times fight. And Brother Tony, she'd been sitting there fighting for days. And Brother, she is breathing and had the, what they call, had the old death rattle. And she is just struggling for breath. But Brother, long about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, she told me for her, she got sick. She said, now if I'm sick in the hospital, she said, I want you to be there. You my pastor. And she said, I won't be like some of these hypocrites and tell you no, it's all right, and then talk about you when you don't come. She said, if I'm in the hospital, preacher, you better be there. I said, yes, ma'am. I went up there that night, and it was long about 2 o'clock in the morning, and that old death rattle had got pretty loud, and she is a struggling, Leroy, for breath. I mean hard, she is struggling. But all of a sudden, it got quiet in that room. And brother, I'm telling you, the sound of the breathing machine, the sound of the beeping, and all that, it just faded into the distance. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Brother, you know what happened? She started peacefully breathing, and she took about 2 long, deep, peaceful breaths, and brother, she caught out of here. And brother, she went from this point to the next point, and I want you to understand this, it didn't take her a long time to get there. Heaven's a lot closer than you think it is. You can reach out and touch it if you want to. Yeah. I love y'all. Y'all may, some of you may leave here and say, boy, we got a crazy one. Amen. But that's all right. Just let me be crazy. And brother, listen, this world's got enough to offer you. He said, evil, how sufficient is the evil of the day thereof? He said, why should you fret over that day? Quit worrying about what you can't handle and what you can't overcome. Brother, it ain't in your power to do it. And brother, would you listen? Christ has a, he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Thank God. My hope ain't in myself. And I love every one of you, but my hope ain't in you. I love you. And I need you, and we need each other to strengthen one another. But our hope collectively is in Him. Hey, man. He's our rock. He's who I'm looking to. I'm not looking to see who's smiling at me or who likes me or who's on board with me. Hey, brother, I'm looking at Him. And as long as Peter's eyes was fastened upon the Lord, he was walking above the troubles, above the storms, above the waves. He walked on water, not crystal clear, but troubled waters. And he is on top of it because he had his eyes on the rock of our salvation. You want to rise above your problems? Get your eyes set in the right place. I've said this before. I may have said it here. I don't know. But my track coach in high school, he said, listen, boys, he said, don't look to the finish line when you get up there. He said, don't get your eyes set on the finish line. He said, but look beyond. Find you a point that's beyond the finish line and run to it. He said, don't stop till you get to it. Hey, man, you know what a lot of people do? They'll slow down when they get to the finish line. I changed my finish line a few years ago in basketball, Brother Steve. It used to be the baseline, but the walls right there close. And so I kept noticing them boys would slow up real quick before they got to that line. And I told him, I said, I'm not teaching you to slow down. I'm teaching you to finish strong. I said, so the free throw line is now our finish line, okay? I said, I want you to run as hard as you can. All that way you got enough room from the free throw line to the baseline and then the wall's there. And you ain't got to worry about smacking your face up against it. I said, run hard through the finish line. The free throw line is here. Hey, I got news for you. Brother, God wants us to get to the finish line. But our goal is not just to finish, but finish with joy in our heart. If I just limp across it, what good am I doing for anybody? Got up yesterday. First charge I've ever had in an ordination service for a pastor. I've had the charge in a deacon, but I've never had the charge in an ordination for a pastor. And it just happened to be the church that I saved at and baptized at that I had the charge of the church for. Ain't that something? I've been preaching for 23 or 24 years now. And been pastoring for about 18 or 19 of them years. And there ain't no telling how many ordination services I've been in, but I've never been the one chosen. And I've often thought, Lord, what's wrong with me? Leaving places. But for my first one to charge the church, it was the church that I was raised in. Ain't that something? You can say what you want to. You can say, well, that's just coincidence. I don't believe so. Hey, man, I couldn't hardly preach. I was so excited. Why? I've told it before, Tony, and I'll tell it again. The morning I got saved, I was raised at Blue Pond Baptist Church. I crawled under every bench that was there. I knew every inch of that place. I could tell you where the best hiding spots was. I could tell you where Brother Jake Cash kept his hair oil and his comb. He'd always go in there and get him a little bit more hair oil and comb that hair back before he come out for service. Yeah, I knew that. You know why? Because I was observing. I was a little fat. I could tell you where Mama sat and shout her hair down. I could tell you where Brother Joe sat and would say, whoop, glory! I could tell you where they sat. I could see them right now, brother. I'm telling you, that ain't left me. I was in church. I knew everything about church. But, brother, I never had seen the church until I got saved that morning. And for the first time in my life, I saw the beauty of God's body today. And I saw the church. Just like John did there in the book of the Revelation. I saw her beauty. I saw her glory. And you know what? It ain't the only time I've seen it. Every now and again I get outside of myself and I see her all over again. And can I tell you that she's just as beautiful as she was the day that I first met her? Yeah. Her glory has not diminished one bit in this world. But listen, if your hope and your glory of the church is in this building, and it's in the members of this church or so-and-so doing your favorite song, I got news for you. One day that's going to go away. There's a lot of them that ain't here no more, Brother Steve, that I used to get a lot of joy out of, that would get up and shout. Preachers that I've heard preach that would just turn my world upside down. But they're not here no more. And if my hope and the glory of the church was found in them, you know what? I'd be awful sad today. Can I tell you this, and you listen real closely? You're going to pass away one day. You're going to go the way of everybody. You're going to go back to the dust. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's coming. It is, every one of us. Ain't one of you going to escape it. Going to go back to the dust. But I want to encourage you in this. While you're in this dust, hey man, while we're in this house of clay, while we're here in this walk of life, why don't we rejoice in what God's going to give us? What are you talking about, preacher? He's going to give us an escape from this dust. An escape from this man that continues to bring us down. The only person I got a problem with is me. You ain't my enemy. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not worried about you bothering me or are hindering me or hurting me. I used to worry about that all the time. But I've come to the place where I've realized what Hannah said in her little prayer. He's our rock. And there's not a rock like Him. And I'll just trust in Him today. I believe the writer in the 22nd chapter was saying the same thing. Can I read that to you? This is what Brother Danny brought to us this morning in the Sunday school time. This is what he read to us. Now you tell me how God worked that out. Huh? What'd you say to Jeff? You asked him, said you got something or something like that. I can't remember. And what'd you say back to him? You'd go if you need to. And then what'd you say? You said, I believe I got it. I believe he had it. I believe he had it. When he started reading it, I said, And I'll be honest with you, I was about ready to preach right then. You say, why didn't you? Because I didn't feel the push. I didn't feel like it's time. But I could have. Because he read this, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So here's rejoicing. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In Him will I trust. Why? Because all over again he'd proven himself. I'm glad when I doubt him, Brother Leroy. You know, that's the moment that he comes back and proves to me again that he's God. Now, this is what you and I would do. Somebody doubts us, we'd say, well, I'm not going with them no more. Can't believe they'd doubt me. But God ain't that way. He said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them all over again. And listen, he don't come up with some new thing to show you. He just presents himself as he already was, as he is, and as he ever shall be. And you just come under the understanding that he's God. Does that make sense? It ain't that he come up with something new, Tony. He just presents himself as who he is. You know what he told Moses when Moses said, I can't go over there. I'm stammering tongue. Who am I going to say sent me over there? You know what he said? He said, you tell them I am that I am. Not I was. Not I shall be. But I am that I am. You know why he said that? Because he's ever present. There's never a moment of time he is not God. He always has been God and he always will be God. Whether you trust him or whether you don't, whether you believe him or whether you don't, whether you go to church or whether you don't, it does not change the fact that he is God. Ain't you glad of that? Listen, I'm trying to encourage, I want you to leave out of here on shouting ground this morning. Listen, it don't matter how doubtful you get, how downhearted you get, how much trouble you get in, God will always be God this morning. Hey man, ain't that good? And we can trust in Him. He is our rock. And this is what He said, in Him I'll trust, He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. He said, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And I could go on and read more. I want to encourage us together. Together to trust Him. Trust what He's doing. Trust what He's trying to get you to. What's He trying to get us to, preacher? To that simple trust. He's trying to get you just to believe on Him and to trust Him with everything. You want to know why them old timers would come to church and seem like somebody dropped the hat and they'd start shouting? Seemed like it didn't take much for the Spirit to get moving on them. You want me to tell you why that was? Because they had got to a place where they had just depended on Him. They had to pray to Him to say, Lord, we need some rain. Our crops ain't going to come in if you don't help us. Listen now, don't get mad at me. They wasn't in the house watching TV. Huh? They wasn't on the cell phone scrolling through. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, I'm not getting on to you, but I'm saying they spent time with God. They understood that God was in control, and they spent less time with the world. And I'm trying to tell you that if you want what they had, and you want to experience that shout, and you want to experience that glory land here, you're going to have to spend some time with Him. Just over in the glory land. What? You waiting to get over there to enjoy that? I'm not. I've enjoyed some of that glory over here. And you know who I've enjoyed it with? I've enjoyed it with some of y'all. And when it come to that, I didn't see you as you. You can believe what you want. What'd you say about Curtis this morning? What he said about running them bitches and got done and said he didn't even know what he'd done. How can a man do that and not know what he'd done? He done got over in the glory land. He done got over in a place where he wasn't in himself, I guarantee you that. Yeah. I ain't never run no benches. I'll just be honest with you. God ain't never told me to take off and try it. And I ain't going to try it unless He tells me to. Because I guarantee you what I'd do, I'd hit that third one and splot and hit everybody there. But if God said take off, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start running them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There've been times where I get so overwhelmed, I just have to go to jumping. It don't happen often, but it happens. It happens. And when I get to jumping, I can't help it. Amen. Yeah. And I like to get in a place where everybody can't help it, and they just get beside themselves and get over in a place where they know God's in control. And they say, God, I'm just going to let go. I don't care what I do or what I look like. I want to praise You this morning because You are my rock. You are my high tower. You are my refuge. J.O. Jarrett. Heaven and them can come ahead and get some song. Brother J.O. lost his wife. Everybody kept asking him, Leroy said, you miss her, you miss her, you miss her, you miss her. And I happened to be in a church service, I guess, where he'd just about, I don't know, I guess he'd had enough people asking him if he missed her. And he stood up in that church service and he said, everybody's asking me if I miss my wife. And he said, you know what? He said, I told this before, but he said, I'm going to tell it in church. I hadn't told. He said, how can I? He said, how can I miss her? He said, every time I go to wash them dishes there in the house, he said, I hear her say, get them clean, J.O., get them clean. He said, I go to the closet and I hear her say, shut that door. Don't forget to shut that door. He said, everywhere I go, she's at. People think we're crazy, but there's times where I've been in this house right here and I see people that ain't here no more, and I hear them. I hear some things, Tony. There's voices that I hear, amens and hallelujahs and praises to God, that are not here anymore, but yet they're still here. You know what happens in those moments? I ain't at Mountain View Baptist Church. I'm in the glory world. I'm in the glory land. I don't get there often, but I've been there enough times that I long to be there. One day, Steve, one day I won't ever have to come back. I won't ever have to enter back into this life and this existence and this frame of thought. I'll be forever in that frame of thought. That's the joy of having the rock of your salvation in your life. Amen. If you ain't experienced it, you can't. And if you're not saved, God will save you this morning. As we stand together and God deals with hearts and encourages hearts and helps hearts. today, if you'd be willing to come and let God have His way in your heart and in your life, He'll save you. If you'd be willing to stand on this rock and run on this rock, not worried about where you put your foot down next because you know the rock's under you. I'm not worried about it. I'm running on the rock. If you'd stand with us this morning right now, if you need to come, go ahead, Brother Evan. Amen. God bless today. Softly. He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, some say that thou art Jonas, some say thou art Elias, some say that thou art this prophet or that. He said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the Catholic Church takes that and they say Peter was the first pope and he's the rock that the church is built on. But that wasn't what Christ was saying. Because if Peter was the rock, then in just three verses or four verses later, Peter said, they're not going to crucify you, Lord. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I mean, just a few verses later. I mean, Peter was the rock, boy. We got something shaky to stand on. But he wasn't talking about Peter being the rock. He was talking about the faith that Peter had to believe that he was the Son of the living God. That's the rock. Our faith upon Him. And what did he say about that rock? Listen now, I want you to understand this and walk out of here a little bit stronger today. He said, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What? What? You mean we got that kind of power? You're telling me, preacher, that the Lord was telling Peter that the gates of hell couldn't have no power over him. He was telling him it had no power over that rock. And that rock is Christ. Paul confirmed that in 1 Corinthians when he said they drank out of that. He said they ate spiritual meat and they drank out of that spiritual rock. Amen. Amen. And he said, and this rock is Christ which followed them. I'm not waiting to get a spiritual drink. I'm not waiting to get a spiritual meat. I'm not waiting to get a spiritual existence. I'm not waiting for the Spirit of God, brother, to come down and do. Hey, if I am not spiritual, if there is not a part of me that's spiritual, if there is not a part of me that's perfect today, then I've missed the mark.
But they something on the inside of me, Brother Leroy. That is perfect and eternal. And what do I have to do? Anthony, I've got to get rid of Josh to experience that inner man and to experience the joy and the glory that he brings. And I can experience it right here, right now. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been experiencing it ever since yesterday. I've been in a place, and I don't know that I want to go back to work or do anything, just to be honest with you. Just because I've enjoyed it so much. One day, I won't ever have to worry about that again. Because one day, I'll drop this old dusty man, and I'll forever be with Christ in that heavenly existence. Forever and ever. Do you have that promise this morning? If you were to die right now, listen to me. If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? What does that mean, preacher? Have you ever believed and trusted Christ for your salvation this morning? The Bible said, all that call upon the name of the Lord. What does that mean, to call upon the name of the Lord? It means to trust Him. It means to believe He is who He said He was, and that He's the only one that can help you out of this way. When you get to that place where you'll trust Him because He's the only one, God will save you this morning. If you're here and you've been dealing with that for a while, and it's, your heart starts to beat out of your chest anytime we have altar call, and you've been dealing with it for a while, God's just speaking to you. He's wanting you to come and be saved. Right now, we're going to sing a verse. What did you do, preacher, whenever you felt that? I was 7 years old, and this is what I did. Everybody watch. This is what I did. I was standing on the end, back there about the third bench, maybe second bench at Blue Pond Baptist Church. This is what I did. Watch now. I just did this. I just went. That's what I did. I just took that step. Just that first step. I don't remember all the rest of them. I just took that first step towards God. You know what? He saved me that morning. I can't tell you how. I don't know altogether. I just know that He did. Maybe you're here and you need to take that step. Somebody's in your way, say, excuse me, just take that step towards the altar and just come on down. And just accept God for who He said He was, which is Christ, your Savior, this morning. Maybe you're here and you've forgotten that. And you've let trouble bother you, and you've let everything else bother you, and you're miserable, and you put on a smile, and you make people think you're happy, but you're not. You're as miserable as you've ever been. Today can be the day where you get that rectified, that clarified, and fixed with God. Why put your trust in Him? What about it right now as we sing another verse of this song? Won't you come? Come on, don't wait. Come on. Appreciate that this morning. I don't feel like I should go any further. I want to, but I don't feel like I'm supposed to. And myself, I want to. I feel like, church, and I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like there's about four that we got that are just on the verge. I mean, just right there on the verge. I feel like, and there may be more than that, but I feel like there's four that I've had on my heart for such a while, and I've been praying for. And I believe a couple of them may be a little closer than the others, but they're thinking. You can just see them just going over it in their minds. And I believe they want to be saved, but they're a little worried about what it takes and what to do. So I'd like to ask you to join with me and let us, that's our theme for this year, let us pray for them. I mean, really get down earnest with God. And if you don't pray about nothing else every day this week, I want to ask you to just pray for them. You say, well, who are they? The Lord knows. And some of you, I'm pretty sure, knows. But let's just pray for them. And mamas and daddies, you pray for them. Get in the back room somewhere and cry out and call their name to Jesus. Say, Lord, please save my dear children. That's the most wonderful thing you could ever pray. Wouldn't it be sad that one day your children get saved and you never had a part in praying for them? Wouldn't that be sad? It'd be wonderful that they got saved, but it'd be sad for you that you didn't have a part in it. That would be sad. But what a wonderful time you could rejoice in, knowing that you had part in that. That you said a prayer and said, Lord, help my children. Help my children. Bring them to church. Especially them, and some of you know, especially them that are right there. Don't keep them out. Bring them. Because the more you bring them, the more that's going to weigh on them. The more that's going to weigh on them. And honestly, don't nothing else matter. Don't matter if they get the MVP. It don't matter if they get the All-A sticker. It don't matter if they're the valedictorian, because at the end of this walk of life, that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is if they've been born again. And so I would encourage you to bring them as often as you can and let them get under this load. Let it get a hold of them. Amen. I believe it'll help them this morning. Anybody got a word or a testimony, anything you need to say or do, you feel free to do so at this time.